Hillary Clinton on the L word, leadership.
We are meeting at a time of unprecedented opportunity and achievement for women. As you've already heard, women are serving at the highest levels of government here in the United States and around the world, in business and academia and the professions. We are presiding over companies and colleges, running philanthropies and laboratories, and breaking new ground as artists and activists and athletes.
From that commencement speech at Barnard College in 2009, Secretary of State Clinton has had to fight to be heard. As a candidate for president and the Democratic Party front runner, she's had to prove she has the leadership skills to face her insurgent challenger Bernie Sanders and populist wild card on the GOP side, Donald Trump. In the middle of this campaign, cognitive psychologist Dr. Therese Houston decided to re-examine some common assumptions about how women make decisions and the men that keep those stereotypes going. Her conclusions are in the book, How Women Decide, What's True, What's Not, and What Strategies Spark the Best Choices.
There are three qualities that people think are essential in a good leader. They need to be intelligent, they need to be honest, and they need to be decisive. And of those three qualities, there was a very large gap between men and women on the quality of what people perceived around decisiveness. And the perception was that men were more decisive than women.
Is it your view that in the current workforce and in so many professions where males dominate, that women have the tools that they need to compete, and that partly this book is about giving women tools to remind them that they actually have all the tools that they need?
I love the idea that we are empowering women to take their proper seats at the table. And that's one of the things that Sheryl Sandberg encourages throughout her book. And what we need to talk about now is how are women going to be treated when they take their seats at the table? One of the findings I find most fascinating is around stress and risk-taking. The common perception is that in stressful circumstances, women will become emotional and fall apart, whereas men remain calm and level-headed. What researchers are finding first is that when cortisol levels run high, on average, men can become more laser-focused on rewards, which means they're more willing to take high risks more often under stressful circumstances. Picture, you know, a Hail Mary pass in the very end of a close football game. Potential for a big win, potential for a big mistake to happen. Under the same stressful circumstances, women become more interested in the sure small wins that can be taken and pretty much guaranteed. And it gives us a real reason to have both men and women in the room rather than the typical model at so many organizations, which is you look around the table and it's only men who are sitting there who get the final say.
I'm actually more comforted by someone who, under stress, as you've suggested, women, you know, look around and make sure everyone's okay, making sure that the small things aren't missed. That seems like something you'd want far more than the Hail Mary pass person, although it might be entertaining to have them in the room.
And that's the interesting thing that I think we often miss, is that what makes for great entertainment, that high risk-taking surge that we love to watch, is not necessarily what we want in our politicians or our bankers or our school superintendents or someone who runs a hospital, right? In terms of those situations, we want people who are alert to the risks, not people who are just focused on the possible rewards that have a small chance of materializing.
What's your sense of Hillary Clinton's learning curve on leadership? You know, her life is so exposed, and now she's, you know, running for president and looks likely to get pretty darn close. What's your sense of her decision-making skills and how much she may have had to learn over the course of her career?
So I certainly would not want to be in her shoes in terms of the amount of pressure and the amount of scrutiny that she's receiving. I think an important thing to remember is that the presidency is traditionally a male job. Men have occupied that role in this country for over 225 years. And a researcher at Yale University, she led a team that looked at how we judge leaders who occupy a role that's usually held by the other gender. And what she found was that when a female leader makes a mistake in a traditionally male job, people think that she has poor judgment and they want to demote her. They scrutinize her much more than a male leader in that same role who makes the exact same mistake. So that suggests to me that people are going to be much more critical of Hillary Clinton than they would be of a male candidate who makes the same mistake. They're going to be more forgiving of him.
How do you think Hillary Clinton might be in a position to change that perception if she's successful?
I'm not sure what Hillary Clinton can do because it's tricky when she raises the issue that there might be bias. People don't like hearing that from her, at least, or from the person who feels that the bias is working against them. But I do believe that by having this conversation about women as decision makers, that we can begin to notice biased reporting in the news. When people use the phrase, you know, it's a woman's prerogative to change your mind, to stop using that phrase. What I'm excited about is that we've been having a conversation about gender bias in this country for several years now, and we have an opportunity to see how we've been censuring and penalizing women around their decisions, and we shouldn't be. We can learn to see it for the equal weight that it has with men making the same decision.
Finally, what opportunities do you think have been consistently missed by either not understanding the way women make decisions or not valuing the ways in which women make decisions?
I think one of the opportunities that's being missed is that if we had more women in top decision-making roles, we might be seeing fewer of these crises. Women tend to pivot towards the risks and men tend to pivot towards the possible rewards. And if we had more balance of the two genders, what we might see is more balanced decisions and fewer of these crises arising. This is a lesson that we can see again and again in the research. If we have men and women genuinely participating in the decision process, better decisions can be made.
All right, Therese, thanks so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much, John. It's a real treat.
Therese Houston is the author of How Women Decide What's True, What's Not, and What Strategies Spark the Best Choices. It's out today.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.